there is two things that I am trying to bring out. And let's see where we're at here. The two things I'm trying to bring out in this series is, number one, how to receive the blessings of God, and number two, what are the blessings of God? You know, I mean, really, biblically, what are the blessings of God, and how do we receive them? And tonight, I'm going to try to speak on what are the blessings, but to remember, there are things that we have to do to receive the blessings of God. We need to be born again. For one thing, we need to be seeking God. We've learned some of these things. We need to have a deep relationship with it. We need to be working on our salvation. That's what Christians do. But for this evening, I'd like you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 23. And I'm going to read two verses, verses 25 and 26 in Exodus chapter 23. Okay. Word says here, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from you in the midst of thee, away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. So as we look here, what we see is that God will provide food for us, and he will bless the food for us. Number one, that is part of the blessing of God. And at my house, we don't feel like we did it. We feel like God did it. And we thank him for doing it. We look at it that way. And the wonderful food ministry that we have, God has given us this ministry. He's given us to do this work. And it's all God. And nothing shall cast their young, okay, nor be barren. Now, I'm just telling you what the word says. I have prayed for many, one of the prayers that I've prayed a lot is for women. They wanted to have a baby, and some of them, they really couldn't, but we prayed, and every time God came through and they were able to have a baby. And nothing shall cast their young. It's talking about miscarriages, losing babies. The word says that's part of the blessing. You know, the blessing of God is different than what the world says, you know. And you hear on TV all the time, well, yeah, we're just being blessed. Well, yeah, we're blessed. We're blessed by God. I hope that's the case of it. But it has far more to do than just anything like finances or things like that. Nothing shall cast their young, nor be barren in your land. And the number of thy days I will fulfill. Now, I shared with you in a previous message about that, about my dad. He died at 57 years old. About my grandfather, he died at 57 years old. And the devil told me in my thought life, you're going to die at 59. Did I say 57? It's 59 years old. And you know, I was coming up to that, and I was thinking, oh, well, you know. But then in my devotions, the Lord says, but son, what about the promises? What about my promises? What about my promises, son? He said, I want you to believe for my promises. You know, I don't care when your dad died and when your grandfather died. Now, both of those men, they did not know the Lord. I don't have to tell you that. I'm not going to go get into it. But they did not. And they never did and they never would. But I did. And the Lord, I began to live past that time. And the Lord shared with me, son, he said, every year that you live past the year of 59, you just count. I've added that to your life. And I ain't worried about. And he said, why don't you read where I told Peter after the resurrection, I said, Peter, follow me. And Peter was walking along with me. And he looked back and there was John the Beloved. And he said, well, what about him, Lord? And he said, you know what? What if I want him to live until I come back? What is that to you? Now, I believe that that could exactly happen because Enoch has never died. Amen? Elijah never died. They're going to die in Revelation chapter 11. And they're going to leave their bodies 3.5 days in the street. Everybody was so terrified of them. And they didn't move. And it was just like, and it said, the whole world was looking at this. And you wonder, you know, up until about 70 years ago, how could that be? You know, but now in this new time, everything changes. I was telling Millie the other day, I said, Millie, remember all them video stores that we used to have? There's none of them left. Remember Redbox? We'd rent movies. Now there's none of that left. Things change all the time. People die all the time. The way life goes, it's just different all the time. But I'm going to zero in on that a little bit further because I have something else to share that happened to me. If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 16, and we'll look at verses 15 through 18. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. And I'm going to be reading out of the King James Bible. And he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, I'm going to share something with you. For a long time, I don't believe everybody's going to heaven. Now, our society believes that, and that's okay. And we don't want to argue with people, but man, you can't get much until you know much. See, we have to know what the Word of God says. Now, let me read that again. He that believes and is baptized is going to be saved. Not only that, then you become a candidate for God's blessings if you feed on the Word, according to Matthew 4 and Luke 4. Man shall not live on bread alone. He will not thrive on bread alone. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, all the promises, there's over 7,500 promises in the Word that are more sure than anything in this life. How many of those promises do you know? I hope you know a lot of them. I don't know all of them, but I'm very interested in them, and I take that interest up beginning every morning. Millie and I do. And these signs shall follow them that believe, verse 17, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. I'm going to stop right there. Because the whole point of me reading right there is this here. If they should eat or drink, it's both. If they eat anything deadly. Now, let me tell you how that worked out in my life. I grew up, as you do. My gosh, if we believe what the world tells us, we really can't eat anything because it's all killing us. It's all hurtful. And it puts us at a great disadvantage. And I took that to the Lord many, many years ago, and he brought me. This is one place he took me. And he said, son, but what does my word say about that? So I dug into the word. And many, many places, the word says what it says right here. If they drink anything that's deadly, if you take in anything that's deadly, you know how I took that for me? I didn't ask anybody. I didn't question, get anybody's, I didn't want anybody else's opinion. I believe that what the word says, that the Holy Spirit can teach you the word. And if you're interested in the word, and if you will feed on the word, he'll teach you the word. And you know what? He'd done already told me, don't worry about what everybody else thinks, son. He said, I'm telling you this, within reason. Now, whatever you eat, I'm not going to let it destroy you, as long as it's food. Now, please don't go eating dirt or anything crazy. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the reason of the Bible, what food is. God will bless our food. He will bless what we drink. I tell you, and this sounds awful. I don't mean to sound this way, but this is how I took the word beginning when I was very, very young. I decided this. I'm not going to die just because everybody else is dying. I'm not going to be sick just because everybody else is sick. I'm not going to be broke just because everybody is broke. Because as I looked at God's word, how can you be born again and read those promises? That just gets into you. All of a sudden you realize God is a real person and he is able to stack the deck in your favor. In Psalm 91, 15, it says, and I'll be with them in times of trouble. I remember years ago, Ed Heft gave me a registered Holstein calf. We named her Ruthie. And we got Ruthie bred to a nice bull. And one night we came home from church. I don't know if you remember this, hon. But, and Ruthie was having that baby. It was dark, and I was there in the dark. And I've always heard about pulling a calf. Now, I grew up in Chicago. I didn't grow up yet. I could say pulling a calf, but I didn't know what that meant. I really didn't. But I'm going to tell you something. As I was looking at this cow, I think I tried to call the vet. I really didn't know what to do. She was down on the ground. She was laying down. She really couldn't get up. And them legs started coming out. And I thought, my. The Lord said, Angelo, I'm with you right now. And you and me, we're going to pull that calf. And I didn't know what. I didn't know anything. But I got a hold of that calf, and the Lord said, do this, this, and this. And before I knew it, Oreo was on the ground. And he lived. Green Acres is the place for me. Man, I'll tell you what. I just thought that was something. And Oreo grew up, and we fed him. And not only did Ed give me Ruthie, but when it came time to, when Oreo got big enough, Ed, we went over to Ed's house. He had a basement. That basement had everything to work up a cow, a calf, including a walk-in freezer. And I learned a whole lot of stuff. And every day of my life, I get deeper and deeper with God, and I've never, you know, like probably all of you that are here, and there's not many of us, I couldn't wait to get back to church. I told everybody at the food giveaway, I said, I've missed you so much. I just enjoy it. This is my life. That this is just what we've done for many. This is the way I raised my family. This is the way I raised my girls. And this is just what we do. And everybody in here, I've asked several of you, you're glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. I'm 74. I guess I could do something else. The Apostle Paul was here this morning, and he was in that cold, and he was handing out food. Now, nobody expects or nobody has to come to church, but let me tell you something. He's here, and I knew there was going to be somebody here, and I didn't give you a grade B or C or D message. I gave you what God gave me for you, and I gave you what will help you. So, as I look at the Word, I look at what the Word said. The Lord said, Angela, I want you to look at it this way. I don't want you to be troubled. I don't want you to live your life, well, the doctor said this is going to hurt you. The doctor said you can't take that. You can't do this. You can't take that. Now, is my life perfect? No. I'm under the power of a doctor. I take medicine. Diabetic medicine. And can I tell you something? Medicine starts in the book of Genesis. It goes all through the Bible. And I have never told anybody. I tell people, listen, you're never going to hear me tell you not to take your medicine. But I'm going to ask you to try something. I said, I'm going to ask you, when you come into the church house, leave your medicine in the car and come in here and let's believe God together. Norma Pixley was at the end of her life. She had worn glasses all of her life, and all of a sudden she was healed. And she didn't have to wear glasses anymore. Why is that? Because, let me tell you something, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word ain't never going to pass away. And God's Word is the highest level is for what is truth on this earth. Does that mean, I'll tell you what, I had a little problem. I still don't know what it was. I asked my wife, but I was at a Wednesday night service, and they had to rush me to Elm Springs. And I thought, I didn't think I was that sick, but I was, I guess. You know, I don't know, because you know what? I don't wake up every morning and count my sicknesses and worry about that. You know what I think? What am I supposed to do today, God? And can I tell you something? I don't remember. I have never, ever missed the service, nor have I ever been late in this church or any other church I was from. Why? Because I believe in my heart I can do it, and I just get tickled by doing it. I'm telling everybody in this room and everybody that'll hear me, you don't have to be broke just because everybody else is broke, but that's the smallest thing. You don't have to be sick because everybody else is sick. So on and so forth. But are some people born with terrible illnesses? Yes, they are. Terrible illnesses, okay? And they die. That doesn't make them bad. I'm saying the way that you should take your Bible is this. Look here. Yeah, I got knocked down in, 2000, somewhere in there. They had to take me up to Elm Springs. And they had my insurance. They had it figured out. They were going like this. Yeah, you're going to be with us for a long time. I said, no, I'm not going to be here for a long time. I said, I feel great. Millie laughed. She said, while you was passed out, they gave you a flu shot. Because I usually don't take them. I would if I thought I needed to. I mean, and nobody's wrong for taking one. I thought them cotton pickers. And I finally said, no, I'm going to leave. He said, no, you're not. I said, well, you know what? Let me tell you this here. I think you're trying to hold me here against my will. Now, when you start saying stuff like that, so he thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a hold of his wife, and we're going to keep, you know, how sick he is. And I forgot what you told me. They asked you what they said, but tell them what you told them. Yeah. Yeah, I said, I want out of here. Finally, Dr. Tony Mann, the number one neurosurgeon in Arkansas, set. He was the guy that drilled them two holes in my head. I still got them right there. He said, okay, listen to me. He thought he had me. He said, look, we want you to be with our therapist, and you walk with him just wherever he can go, and we'll see if you can keep up with him. Then we'll talk about that. And the therapist finally told me, could we please sit down? He said, I can't walk that long. I said, well, I don't have to stop. I'll sit down with you, but I just want you to know I don't have to. See, you've got to have something inside of you that says that the Bible is so, and you're not just going to die because somebody else is dying. You're just not going to do this, that, or the other. Now, the last word that God gave creation, Genesis chapter 6, that man's days would be 120 years. And I wondered about that, and I wondered many times. And there was a little gal in Oklahoma. She was part of the Tulsa Massacre that happened in the late 1800s. And she just died. She was 111 years old. Though there's still one World War II veteran from America. He's 100 years old. And I'm telling you, people begin to prepare. It seems like to me, when they get about 70, everybody else is doing it. I guess that's what's going to happen to me. No, I never think that. I'm sorry. I never think that. Ever. And there's things, bad things happen to me, terrible things. And have you lived nice and holy? No, see, what we're learning here, this ain't about holiness. This is about who you believe God is. See? Is God who he says he is? Does he love you like he says? Does he really have the power to change things in his life? You're standing before a fellow right now. I don't know how long I'm going to go. I might die tomorrow. But I'm not planning on it. I've already got plans for tomorrow. And dying ain't a part of it. Okay? And if my wife will go with me, we're going to go out to eat. And we're going to be happy. And we're going to do this, that, and the other. I'm still not through learning. I've had to ask Kelly 1,000 times. Now tell me again one more time about that Facebook, how to make one of them live video. And I'm getting it slowly but surely. I love it. We went on a date, was it yesterday or the day before? And I some of you might have saw it. I put it on Facebook, just practice it. Well, me and Millie's going, we're going to Boonville magazine. We're going to eat. Then we're going to what was the name of that? Tractor Supply. We went there. We did this. We did that. We had fun. And I shared it, and I just love it. I love to learn still. I believe God still. And yet, you know what? When look here, as the song says, when your time has come to go, will your robes be white as snow? Are you walking and talking with the Lord? Will he take you by the hand and lead you to that promised land? Are you walking and talking with the Lord? You know what I believe? I believe I'm going to know. God's going to tell me. God's going to tell me, son. And you know what I'm going to do? Here I am, Lord. I'm ready. You know, it seems like most people in America, they do everything they can not to die. And I think the most important thing you can do, from the youngest person in this room to the oldest person in this room, you need to know, you need to be talking to God about some stuff. You need to be ready to stay, or you need to be ready to go. And if you walk with God, he'll let you know when it's time to go. I believe that. I just do. And if it's not, he'll let you know that. Now, you know, my neurosurgeon, bless his heart, we had to go back to him a couple of times, and I could tell he's going to make it hard on me. See, every MRI, I think there were, my insurance paid, how much was it, $1,500, $2,000? How much was it for that three-day stay in there? Tell me one more time. About $250,000. It's kind of like the church. We're debt free on that. We didn't. But I could tell that my surgeon, he goes, oh, I was in his office, and he maybe, you know, they kind of make you, they want you to be underneath them. And it made me feel like, he said, yeah, we're gonna have to see you for a long time. And I thought, dear Lord, how am I going to get out of this, Father? I don't believe that, Father. He said, well, son, watch this. Before I knew it, he moved up there a little further up north, didn't he, to a different hospital. And they forgot all about Brother Angelo. How many years ago was that? Can I tell you something? I feel great. And you know what I always do? When there's somebody like Paul in my midst, and he loves God like I do, I always ask him, what's the secret to a long life? Because I want to hear what people have to say. Because I ain't planning, you know what? I'm ready to go yesterday. But you know what? The devil ain't taking me out of here. Just see, that's bringing out the fighter in me. You know, you're not going to push me around. My Bible says this, that, and the other. I always tell them, you know what? I remember one time I was doing this, I was quite young. I said, you see this line of people here? I was on the street. I said, I'm going to talk to every one of them about Jesus. I did it. He said, you can't do that. He kept following me and said that. I said, you know what? I'm resisting you. And you know what? You got to flee. When you study that out, resist the devil and he'll flee, that means he runs because he's afraid of you. He runs away from you. Now, see, I believe that. You don't have to believe just like me. I'm with you no matter what you believe. I understand that we've all got our own story, our own situation. I understand that. But these promises mean something to me long before I ever met any one of you, long before my kids was born. I had something for God. Was I perfect? No. No, I wasn't. I live in depression sometimes, fear of what people want. They want to hurt me. They want to hurt my family. And what I do is just hunker down with the Lord. If you stay within the realms of where you're supposed to be, it's very important that you know where you're supposed to be every day. And it's very easy to be able to know where you're supposed to be and where you're not supposed to be. And if you hit that right, Paul, wouldn't you say that's an important thing, being where you're supposed to be every day? I know you was out there and it wasn't warm out there today. I guess you were supposed to be there because you sure did good and you're here tonight. You're like me. I didn't have to come tonight. You didn't have to come. That's right. That's right. You got to have something in there that says, I'm going through. I'll pay the price whatever others do. Amen. I started out with Jesus, and bless God, I'm going through. It's only by the Lord God in heaven that I have stayed married. And what I had to remember was this. I love God so much. He's been so good to me. I feel like I owe him. In August the 10th, 1974, in San Jose, California, at Calvary Community Church, I told this lady right here that I was going to be with her forever. I was going to be with her till death do us part. I ain't the only one like this. There's a lot of people in this community the same way. Is it easy to stay married? It's a lot easier to mess your life up, I can tell you that. That's for me. Just the genealogy that I'm from, the kind of people that I'm from. But you know, I told my wife and God, see, when you get married, you're not just making a covenant with another human being. You're making a covenant with God. And I promised God some things. And you know, it hasn't been easy for me. It's been easier for my wife. It hasn't been easy for me, but bless God, I'm going to do what I said. And devil, if you can stop me, come on. I don't think you can. Because you know what? I got a name. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. at the name of Jesus, no other name, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you go through troubles, I was thinking about this on the way up here. God never said we weren't going to go through troubles. In John 16, 33, he says, look, you're going to have troubles. I mean, he just says it. In this life, you shall have tribulation. John 16, 33, but be of good cheer. See, you got to know them verses in the Bible that are for you, that are for mankind. Well, what if I have to wear glasses? I don't know. I ain't worried about it. I'll wear them. I take medicine. I'll take it. As long as it doesn't make me, but I, you know, I don't take everything that they want me to take. I do what I want to do with the promises of God, but you don't need to be foolish. I mean, if you need to go to a doctor, if you've got something, you should go. I did. They drugged me out of here right during, at the end of a service, and we drove up. There was a long ways up there. Man, I woke up there. When I finally woke up there, they done drilled big holes in my head. And the doctor said, well, he almost died. I guess, I don't know if I almost died. I never felt like that. I didn't wake up with any pain. I'm sorry, in a way. But I'll tell you what happened. I had a little old nurse there. She said, Angelo, all of the nurses are talking about you. What? How are you doing so well? She said, we'd never seen anything. And I said, well, it has to do with Jesus. When I said the name Jesus, whew. And we got in the elevator. It was down. We had to go up to another floor. And by the time we got to that floor, she asked Christ to come into her life. And she meant it. Let me tell you something. If you mess with me, I'm going to mess back. And the book, the Bible that I read says this, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And I'm not the only person like that. I know a lot of people like that. So you may all be like that in this room. I hope that you are. But it starts with an attitude. And the attitude is, I'm going to find out what this word says belongs to me, and I'm going to take it to Jesus. I'm going to do everything I can to find out how to get it. You know, we built a $500 million manna center, and it's paid for. You know how awesome Jesus and me is? Look at her. Have you ever met anybody like her? That's my seed. That's what I produce. Show me a lost person. Look here. The first I remembered, there was like 7. Now, we're going to get out here on time, too. You can hear all this good stuff. There was 7.2 billion. Now it's up to over 8.2 billion people on this earth. You know what that means? It is open season on lost folks. They're everywhere. I dare you to go and just strike up a conversation with somebody. Ask them, are you a person of faith? That's a great question. We was at a restaurant the other day, and we're being recorded, aren't we? I'm not going to say anything wrong, but I'll tell you this here. These were some Amish people. And I asked her, I said, are you one of the owners? She said, yes. I said, would you bless our, you're a person of faith, right? She said, yes. I said, would you pray over our meal, please? And this is what she told me. Well, in our faith, we pray quietly. And I said, well, oh, okay, that's all. I didn't know. She goes, no, wait a minute. I'm going to pray with you. I think it's on, you can see that on, she prayed with us. Let me tell you something. You get it, let me tell you, and always, you've never heard me or her say that we got it all. Look here, we don't have it all. You know, every day we wake up. Now listen, this is what we do. We just try to get what belongs to us, the part that God would like us to do, the people that we can help, the people that we can love, the people that we can encourage. That's all we want. We don't want anything else. Am I preaching too strong, too awful? You want me to cut it short, or do you want to go 9 more minutes? Everybody wants to go 9 more minutes. Put your hands up. I don't care if your hands up or not. I'm going 9 more minutes. I got one more place. I got one more place I'm going to read. Is it one or two? It's one. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to basically these. And this is Jesus at the end of, let's see, where are we at here? Mark 16, 15. We'll end there. Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. We're about to close down, so don't anybody. Now, and Jesus said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, we don't need to fight with anybody, but you don't need to think in your heart that everybody, you can just live like you want to and everybody's going to heaven, because that's just not true. And there's many places. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it or eat, it will not hurt them. Now, we don't go around and take poison, and we don't, and we just like, we don't handle snakes either. But if they get in our way, I've never let a snake roll me around. And let me tell you something. If they take anything deadly, if any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I don't care how much cholesterol is in a gallon of milk. I'm drinking it. Well, how's that working out for you? Well, if I make it to October the 24th this year, I'm going to be 75. And then what are you going to do? I'm going to see if I can make it till the next 2027. Amen? There's Christy. Her parents believe this way. Her parents are, I mean, they're up. They're older than me. I love it. I love it. Find somebody older than you. See if they're people of faith. And kids, would you come up here with Frank? I would like that to happen. And I would like you all to serve communion. I'm hoping that you've already checked out your heart and that you're ready to take communion. Yeah, come on up here. Is Sophie up here? Good. Hey, give me one of them. And you